Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, lovely listeners. It's Thursday. Thursday is the time where we sit down and we chat with you about all the stuff that you want to chat with us about because we love you and that's just what we love doing.
Yes, a mini-sode, another one has rolled around, so it's an Ask Liz and Tom.
It is.
A little episode today,
now,
a little Q&A.
Off the top, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody who's been writing in over the last couple of weeks. We've had a wave of letters and we love being able to answer your questions. But I do need to say that we are not professionals.
No.
I believe we've stated this before, but we're not professionals in any way, shape, or form. So if you have a problem that is a serious problem, we're probably not going to be the best people to go to if you need an immediate answer. We record these so far in advance. We're at least 2 to 3 weeks in advance. And if you've got a problem that needs kind of immediate answering, I guess our advice for everyone is just to find someone that you trust, a friend, a professional, and run it by them because, you know, some things in life are super scary and it's really hard to deal with them by yourself. And we just want to make sure that you know that we love you and we support you and you can do these things. But if you need immediate help, maybe seek out somebody in your life that can help you with any kinds of trouble that you're having. We're happy to answer all of your questions that we can be given a little bit of time to think about them and record them in advance. And we love that you send in stuff to us. But yeah, if there's something that's really kind of pressing in your life, that's above our pay grade.
That's right. We don't have the...
I also don't want to get sued.
Unfortunately, we just don't have the time, resources to answer queries and help on the fly consistently. So if you have a pressing issue that you feel needs to be covered or concerned with, find someone you trust, a friend or a professional, and reach out to them.
But I'm so grateful that people are reaching out to us for help. It just makes me feel like what we're doing on this podcast is obviously helping some people. So thank you so much for putting your faith into us, but maybe put it into somebody who's slightly more qualified.
Yes.
Okay, so we're doing an Ask Liz and Tom episode today. So I will start.
Okay.
I have one that I think we'll all know the answer to.
Oh, boy.
I think my friend's boyfriend is toxic for her. When she's around him, she's totally different. She goes from being super loud and outspoken to being super quiet and letting him command the room when she's there. It's like she's being the little wifey who only speaks when she's spoken to, and it's freaking me the fuck out. Is this a problem? Do I need to say something?
Well, I mean, are we flicking towards the button? Are we
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Is it this one?
Dump them!
That is our advice. And next question.
Kibang.
No, look, obviously as a friend, it's really difficult to be able to look when your mate's with somebody who isn't that great for her. And the tricky thing, as we've discussed in episodes, it was Emma and the Gaslit Friend, mm-hmm. and then on numerous other advice episodes, it's really hard to be that messenger to try and go to someone and say, hang on a minute, you know, this person may not be as good as you think they are because they could turn around and put it straight onto you.
That's right. To point at an example, I think Liz, you turned around at the end of a relationship and said to your best friend, why didn't you say anything?
I did, and she fucking screamed at me.
Because she had been bring this up again. So being the friend can be so difficult. I think we let your position be heard, but also don't be afraid to say, I can't fight this with you anymore. Emma tried something similar, did she not?
She did, but I think this was after she tried to bring it up with me several times and I'd shot her down.
Yeah.
So I feel like this person seems like they're like right at the start of that tale. So I feel like what you need to do rather than And it's a few things that Emma tried with me, which they didn't change my mind at the immediate time. But when I was trying to make up my mind on what to do, they just kept flashing through my head. Was she'd ask me questions about him that forced me to be a little bit more introspective than I normally would have. Like, in this situation, it could be like a, how do you, how do you feel about him? And then transitioned into a, oh God, I can't even think. This situation's just made me mad with rage because it's so hard. But, you know, how do you feel when you're with him? And asking questions about, you know, how, I can't think of the words. Why can't I think of the words?
How do you feel after seeing you hanging out with your friends? How do you feel hanging out with him?
Yeah, or even just playing like, you've been quiet today. Is anything the problem? I can't word today. I'm very tired. We're recording the day after my birthday and I'm dusty. Yeah, so just ask little questions about, you know, just kind of let them know that you've noticed that they're a little bit different. Are you very quiet around him? Just like, oh, or even in the middle of the situation, just be like, come on, you've always got something to say. What's going on? Kind of thing. But yep. I think it's important to kind of always interject those little observations just so that your friend knows that you see her and that you can see that it's happening, and questions that force her to be introspective about the actual state of her relationship.
Yes, probably, yeah, doing whatever you can to try and get that ball rolling in her head or their head about where they start turning their life and their relationship over in their own head. They start being introspective, looking inward.
Yeah.
It's probably a good way to go. And be there at the end when it all goes wrong. If it all crumbles down, collapses around her, be a friend at the end. She doesn't need someone at the end saying, I told you so.
No.
That can come later.
Yeah, that can come after you're already friends again and you've fully recovered.
Yes.
All right. Do you have one for us?
I do. It came up in a past episode. How do you ask someone out? Because
I don't.
Exactly. It's such a... Why is asking someone out so... It's an anxiety-making thing,
but it shouldn't be. It's funny that you asked this today.
Yeah.
I had brunch yesterday with a bunch of our mutual female friends, actually, and one of them was trying to ascertain whether a wink meant anything.
Oh.
And it was quite funny because the age range in the table, there was 20-somethings on one side and 30-somethings on the other. And the 20-somethings were like, okay, well, maybe if you like subtly brush past him and then like give him a look, like a sexual look, or maybe if you do this or maybe if you do that. Whereas our side of the table was firmly like, ask him to have a drink.
Say something.
And she was like, yeah, but what if he, and I'm like, it doesn't matter, because if he interprets this as a friendship thing, then you've got your answer. If he interprets it as a date, you've got your answer. If he says he doesn't want to go for drinks with you, you've got your answer, and you can palm it off as it was just friends asking friends anyway. Like, as long as you don't be like, would you like to go on a date with me if you're uncertain? You can hedge your bets and just be like, and this particular person was in the workplace with this girl, and I was like, nothing unites someone like shared hatred of something else. So you just be like, oh my God, I've had such a shit day today. I'm going to be having a drink in the bar. I know you get off in about an hour. Do you want to join me? Like, and if he says no, like you gauge the response once you put it out there, but you can put out a let's hang out that doesn't have to be this date pressure that you're putting on yourself. But
yes.
I just thought it was so funny that one side of the table was interpreting every look, every touch, every this, every that. And then me and this other girl were just like, just fucking ask him.
Yes. I think in the world of asking someone out, as daunting and as terrifying and as scary as asking someone out on a date can be, there's an even bigger force that can work on you, and that is regret. If you don't take that chance to ask that girl out, ask that boy out, whatever, if you don't ever take that chance, and you'll be living the rest of your life with regret and what if and wondering.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
You may as well stand up and get shot down where you on your feet than than any other outcome. So
yeah, and I think as well, like if it's somebody that you don't know or just like a random, then ask them out. Be bold and ask them for that date. Where if it's someone in the workplace where you have to see, or someone in your friendship circles, then do the little hedge your bets asking them to hang out thing, because then you can palm it off depending on which way it goes. But always ask. Yes. The common denominator. Oh my god,
it's all right.
It's like I'm drunk and I'm not yet. The common denominator is just ask the question.
That's right.
The worst they can say is no, and then you're in exactly the same position as before, but slightly better because you're not wondering what if.
That's right. And they say no. That's getting an answer is a good thing.
It is.
Be it negative or
bad. It means you can move forward.
It informs your next decisions.
Exactly. Perfect. Love it. All right. I've got one for you.
Bring it on.
I have feelings about it. I'm in a relationship where my current girlfriend has a serious problem with me communicating with my ex-wife. We've been divorced for more than 10 years and we have a child with a disability who's nonverbal. We also live a couple of hours away from one another. Depending on what's going on, we may speak once a week sometimes, or sometimes a few times a week. There's no interest on either side to try and get back together. Mm. When I video chat with my child, I don't get any information from them. All I see is them and a little interaction. My girlfriend feels like I should be speaking with my ex as little as possible and that I should be fine just seeing my child and being able to see that they are happy and healthy. She has even expressed that I should keep an eye on the time as to keep conversations to under 5 minutes. All of the conversations are almost all about our child, with maybe a little bit of general chit-chat thrown in once in a while. My girlfriend blows up all the time over this and says speaking with my ex as often as I do is really disrespectful to her. I just don't know how to have it so I can be involved with my child's life as well as try to limit the issues with my girlfriend. Any thoughts or advice?
Dump them!
Bing, bing, bing.
That's our advice, ladies and gentlemen. That's fucked up.
I'm
so angry.
I found the more you're talking, I found myself staring at my hand and getting angry. And just, no, parents, two people that have a child are bound forever to that child.
Yes. And especially if the child is nonverbal and the wife has to then have the conversation on the part of the child.
That's right. Can you imagine growing up without a dad and you found out that your dad's girlfriend didn't like him hanging out with your mum? How would that make you feel
also,
as a kid growing up?
Also, where's the fucking trust in that relationship?
Yep.
Like, they've been split up for 10 years. If they wanted to get back together, it actually probably would make shit a lot easier for them. So I feel like it would happen. Like,
but it's an agreement between the parents. They're making it work however they can to support and to show love to a little child. That's the most important thing.
That child is the most important thing.
That's the most important thing.
110%.
And if mum and dad are in the frame, even on a computer screen, that's good. Good.
And as a father, how can you be possibly content just to show, like, okay, here's the boy's face, he's fine, all right, bye. Like, that's not enough. You need half of the battle with being in a, like, relationship where you've split up and you've got a child is making sure that the child still feels loved by both parents. I'm sorry, whoever that girlfriend is, she needs to fucking go, because it's all about that kid. And if you're with somebody who doesn't realize that your child needs to feel your love.
And what an amazing advertisement he's doing for like his own future. Like, he's saying, look, I love my son so much, I'm gonna do all this. He's advertising himself in a good way,
yeah,
isn't he?
Like, can you not sit there and look at how well he's performing as a dad and go, it's really lovely that my partner wants to be involved in his child's life rather than being a deadbeat fuckwit?
I agree. Check yourself.
Yes. Let's hit the button one more time to make me feel good.
Dump them,
move on.
Very cathartic. How do you resist sleeping with an ex?
You
don't?
I don't even talk to my exes. I can resist sleeping with them very fucking easily.
Fair enough. So end up hating your ex is the advice. But a lot of people break up with someone and then they can't resist the call of the siren song.
I feel like it depends. So if you are okay with just having a nice familiar fuck, then I don't think you need to resist sleeping with your ex. But if you know that either side still has feelings, then you've got to put yourself in that other person's shoes and be like, hang on a minute, this person still feels something for me, and what I'm doing by having sex with them is incredibly manipulative. I think empathy has to play a part. And unfortunately, in situations like this, empathy doesn't play a part, and that's why people do what they do. And you can obviously only be responsible for yourself. So if you are the party who is still has feelings for the party, the ex that you're about to sleep with, sit down with yourself, do a little bit of soul searching, and kind of go, how is this going to impact my healing journey here? Is this going to make me feel better? Well, yes, for about 5 minutes, 30 seconds maybe. And then how am I going to feel after? Will I feel like I've taken a step back? And if you can't honestly say to yourself that it's helping your healing journey in the long run, then maybe you need to take a step back. And if you're the person who doesn't have the feelings and you know the other person does, then that's when the empathy part needs to come into play.
Yes, I would agree. I would echo that and say often when we're freshly broken up with someone, we're very good at lying to ourselves and or talking ourselves into things we want to do. We're very good at that.
Very good at that. Tell a friend, man. They'll talk you out of it quick smart.
So try and recognize yourself doing that. And I would say if you ever find yourself thinking about or contacting someone that you really shouldn't be sleeping with, just masturbate.
Yep.
That'll clear your mind. That gets that off your chest, yep. So to say. And that'll give you a level head going forward in your decision making.
Yeah.
I would say.
I agree with that. It's like the don't go to the supermarket hungry rule,
yeah,
really.
Right.
Like don't approach someone for sex if you need it. Actually, that's wrong. But if it's an ex, you got to think about this shit, because that's like all of the calories, none of the nutrition, food. It's not great. But again, as I said, if you both don't have feelings anymore and you just want some comfort sex, then bang that shit out. I'm all for it.
But be very cautious about one or both of you having feelings that haven't probably been dealt with and will only stir up bad things in the future. So tread carefully, I think, is the...
Cool. Well, I'm going to think we'll leave it at that,
because
I feel like we've announced all the things we needed to announce. We've answered all the questions we needed to answer. And I think we need to high five each other after this, because I think we've had really good advice this week.
Killing it.
It's easy questions because people are assholes.
Keep writing in with your questions, your stories. You know by now where to find us.
And if you want to be a guest on one of the main episodes, go to thatsnotcanon.com/ghostofboyfriendspast. Fill in the form. Otherwise, email us, write us. All the stuff will be in the show notes. We really want to hear from you. And don't forget, we love you. We believe in you. But holy shit, we are not qualified to answer really pertinent questions.
Gollum has an unhealthy obsession about some bit of jewelry.
Doesn't even know this is what the precious is. Stupid therapist.
Gollum. Cookie Monster's a bit of a stress eater.
Cookie, cookie, cookie.
And homicidal robots really just want their best friend back.
I know I did and said things that she regrets, but why is that my problem?
But what all these monsters really need is therapy. The podcast Therapy for Monsters finally puts monsters in a therapy chair with a real therapist. Me, Tim, your friendly neighborhood therapist. If you'd like to learn a bit and laugh a bit, check out Therapy for Monsters on your favorite podcast app.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.